French.
Hey, I'm Rob McDonald.
And this is the Great Plains Outdoors Podcast.
We're going to talk about everything from fishing and hunting to hiking, paddling, and adventures on the Great Plains. We'll cover it all here.
So join us each episode and hear what's going on in the great outdoors on the Great Plains. Hey, y'all, welcome back to another episode on the Great Plains Outdoors Podcast. It feels so good to be back on the microphone with my co-host, Rob, and a special guest who is a dear friend of mine and Rob's. Rob, what have you been up to?
You know, just kind of been trying to catch up. It's this this late season winter, you know, all the hunting seasons are over, and it seems like when we're between this winter hunting season and spring activities, like there should be a break, but I almost feel like I'm more busy. I don't know if that's like cleaning up, you know, packing away decoys and starting to get fishing gear around, that kind of stuff. But there's lots of things that are still going on around the Great Plains, even though those hunting seasons are closed. And lots of folks are thinking about fishing and turkey hunting for sure. You know, I've been seeing some pictures of folks that are catching trout, guys that are fishing through the ice, and ladies. Some snow goose hunts are going on, and you know, I've heard that the winter crappie bite is pretty solid.
Nice. I have to chuckle. I saw this Facebook post, probably from a mutual friend that we all have, the other day about how he had his car at the car wash and it was getting detailed. And he said, first detailing after hunting season, no one's cried yet. I think we can all probably relate to that.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah, and Rob, you're right. There's a lot of hunters and anglers that are, you know, moving on from one season to the next as all of the seasons are changing across the Great Plains. And, you know, our guest on here today is no exception to that. Mark Merle is a lifelong outdoors man experienced in so many aspects of the outdoors on the Great Plains. Mark is a lifelong Kansan growing up in Manhattan and Topeka. He attended K-State University and graduated with a Bachelor of Science in Fisheries and Wildlife Biology with a fisheries concentration. After a two-year stint at the Fisheries Management Technician for North Carolina Wildlife Resources Commission, Mark returned to Kansas as a wildlife information representative for the Kansas Department of Wildlife and Parks in 1989, where he was named manager of the Great Plains Nature Center. He's been a staff and writer, photographer, you name it, for Kansas Wildlife and Parks magazine since 1989. He retired from the department after a 32-year career with the agency and quickly transitioned into his new role, as I don't think Mark will ever retire, as the executive director for the Kansas Wildscape Foundation. Mark, it's so good to have you on the show. Love having our friends on here in particularly, and you're definitely one of those people. So welcome.
Thanks, Brittany. Thank you too, Rob. I appreciate the opportunity to talk about the Kansas Wildscape Foundation. And it's always nice to talk to other folks with similar missions and passions. And you two certainly have both of those. So I appreciate the opportunity.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Mark. Well, tell us a little bit about yourself in a nutshell. I know I mentioned some details, but help us get to know you better.
You did, Brittany. Kind of like you said, I've been in Kansas all but a couple years for that North Carolina hiatus. And some people say I picked up a little bit of an accent while I was down there, but maybe it's worn off by now. Maybe it hasn't. But lived in Kansas, promote Kansas all my life. I also had a freelance outdoor writing and photography career for about the last 25 years as well. And I did the outdoor page for the Topeka Capital Journal for 11 years straight every Sunday. Had a spot there, and then other national magazines and publications from Buckmasters to Great Plains Game and Fish and those. And, you know, in doing those, got to showcase a lot of things about Kansas that we have and that we're proud of. You know, I've been all over the country bow hunting from northern Canada to south Texas, and lots of things to see and do and great opportunities. But when it all comes down to it, we've got a great opportunity here in Kansas to do a lot of things. And I really wouldn't trade what we have here for many other parts of the country. But yeah, your introduction was pretty much nailed it. I'd worked over three decades for Kansas Wildlife and Park, worked with a lot of great people, had a great career. A lot of my career was focused on trying to get kids and others introduced to the outdoors through our Pass It On program that we started way back when, and youth hunts, and we did outdoor skill seminars back in the early 2000s, and through the magazine and these other opportunities, got kids going and hopefully made an impact in getting people outdoors and just shared the enjoyment of the outdoors as well. So shared it with my family. My kids are grown up now. Just got out of college. I had twin boys that just got out of KU and K-State, and one went to Oregon, the other went to Wisconsin for a job. So they've kind of spread out, but I've got a daughter still here, lives a half a mile away, and just blessed me with my second granddaughter, and she's 5 weeks old now. So
I love it.
Life is good. The Wildscape Foundation is an opportunity for me. I couldn't retire financially from the state and make a living. So this job allowed me to go ahead and retire and get into something where I still work with, you know, people like you and Rob and other organizations that that share the passion of sharing outdoors with young and old. So it's been a fun ride so far.
Yeah, I can believe that. I do have to give you a little shout out, Mark. When I first started with Outdoor Mentors, we did a video series when you were still at the Great Plains Nature Center. And I just remember being so excited about putting that resource together with you in particular, because anytime I mentioned the idea to someone, they said, you need to call Mark. You need to call Mark. Like, you were just the pillar, the guy to explain how to hunt, and you insert the species, and you did exactly that. It was so fun, and those videos get viewed often, and kids love them. We have mentors that love them. So yeah, thank you for all the wisdom and expertise you've passed on for so many years now to so many other people.
You bet, Brittany. That I think it means I'm getting old, but that's okay. I've been around, been there, done that, and do kind of pride myself on doing a lot of the things outdoors, whether we're talking about, you know, trapping, hiking, camping, hunting, fishing, you know, and I enjoy that. I raise my kids in the outdoors, and, you know, every parent likes to brag on their kids and say they're pretty good kids, and mine are as well. And I think a lot of that has to do with the time that we spend outdoors together as a family. So the outdoors is near and dear to my heart. I do a lot of those things I'm anxious to share. And it was fun doing those videos with you that we did at the Nature Center there, and always glad to help you and anybody else get the word out.
So, Mark, it sounds to me, you know, that this Kansas Wildscape opportunity was such a good fit for you when you had the opportunity to retire from wildlife and parks. But, you know, like myself included, I think a lot of our listeners either hadn't heard of Kansas Wildscape, or maybe have heard about it, but we're not sure what does that even mean? What's the foundation? You know, what are its goals? What do you do there? What's going on at Kansas Wildscape?
Right. And that is a problem that we've had, Rob, is the Kansas Wildscape Foundation. Nobody really knows a lot about it. So that's been one of my challenges, to try and get the word out. But the Wildscape Foundation has actually been around since 1991. Former Governor Mike Hayden formed Wildscape in order to help, primarily to help Kansas Wildlife and Parks with some of the things that they do, projects and programs that they have going. Sometimes state government gets mired in regulations and red tape and that. And so Wildscape was kind of put together to connect maybe private into public, such as Wildlife and Parks. So we've been around for just over 30 years, celebrated 30 years a couple of years ago. And Wildscape is a nonprofit foundation basically set up to help wildlife and parks, and in a nutshell, create outdoor opportunities for Kansans. So, you know, since I took over, we're not a big organization. I'm the executive director, a full-time position. I've got a part-time business manager. And then we are governed by a board of directors from people from all across the state, from different walks of life, some very distinguished and wonderful people that we have on the board. My board chair is Debbie Hagen from Kansas City. Been great for the organization since she came on last summer. Warren Goodfeller's our co-chair, and he's from up in Kansas City. He's also Warren Goodfeller's from Russell, and is our co-chair, and he's been involved with Wildscape since the word go. So great individual, has a beautiful ranch, and his ranch is, that's my background right there. I call it God's country. So it's a beautiful place, and Warren's a great guy. in the wards of Arvory is our treasurer. He's from Kansas City. And so that's our executive staff, plus some others that we have on board. And we get together quarterly and try and come up and keep Wildscape going. One of the problems with Wildscape my predecessor had is kind of hit a bit of a skids working with Wildlife and Parks on some of the projects through no fault of his own. It was just kind of tough to get that partnership cooking. And so that's been one of my goals since I came on, is to get with Secretary Brad Loveless and work with him. And while we also work with, you know, primarily with Wildlife and Parks, we're interested in some projects for with others as well. And we've got one now with Brittany and Mike and Outdoor Mentors with the trap team out of Wichita, and a great opportunity for some kids that formerly didn't have that opportunity. So yeah, in a nutshell, we're in it to create outdoor opportunities for Kansans, open to the public, open to anyone, no matter what. Usually a lot of these things that we do don't cost a dime. Our Outdoor Kansas for Kids program coming up doesn't cost anybody a dime to get in. So that's kind of Wildscape in a nutshell. Rob, so
that's a great explanation of what y'all do as a liaison for all individuals out there, not just for Department of Wildlife and Parks, right? So we do have an inner city trap team called the Wichita Clay Dusters, where, like Mark mentioned, these are all kids who truly have no access to shooting trap, hunting, anything outdoor related, and we were able to provide that team for those kids, but obviously that costs money. So having support and backing from groups like Kansas Wildscape Foundation allows, you know, that many more kids, 30 trap kids is how many kids we have on our team right now, to get out and shoot this spring and next fall, and just to continue that legacy that we all love.
Yeah. And that's just one of the things that Wildscape does, Brittany. We have, you know, other interests with high school trap teams. We've sponsored some of those to try and get started, give them a lifetime license to auction off to kickstart their effort to get a high school trap funded, trap team funded. Last fall, working with Tana Fanchier, now Tana Wagner, and Lindsay Ryan with Kansas Wildlife and Parks, and then Pratt Community College started a college mentorship program where they looked at pairing kids with an interest in the outdoors and shooting, hunting, and that sort of thing with 10 kids that didn't hunt or fish, and try and introduce those kids to that. And that just is kind of wrapping up now, kind of looking at some of the results from that. Most all of them were really positive. It looks like scheduling and that might have been a problem between the kids' schooling and other activities, but we got some great support for that program from Gus Bader and TriStar and some other folks. Gus has always been a big help to anybody in the outdoors and done a lot of great things. So we appreciate that. Other programs with Wildlife and Parks, the Great Kansas Fishing Derby they had for the last couple of years, that's gone from like May to September. I think it went last year, and they tagged, I think, their goal was 500 fish in 45 or 50 different locations, and they offered prizes for the tagged fish. And so Wildscape was a financial partner along with Cabela's Bass Pro Shop. I think we're two of the primary sponsors for that, as well as a lot of interest from local folks as well. So we helped with law enforcement, with the game wardens have a trailer now, kind of an anti-poaching trailer that talks about the impacts of poaching on the average folks and what they do to try and combat that. That trailer, I think, is about to hit the road and travel around a little bit, maybe to state fairs and some schools and things. So we've done a fair amount already with Wildlife and Parks since I came on, and the R3 movement overall, whether it's National Archery in the Schools program, the Border Wars Archery Tournament with five states, including Kansas, kicks off tomorrow up in Overland Park, and Wildlife and Parks is a part of that, and Wildscape has helped with that the last couple of years. And then the state shoot in Hutchison at the end of March is another one that is going to benefit Kansas kids. So the R3 movement, Becoming an Outdoors Woman, the BOW program, just a small sample of what Wildscape has helped with since I came on. I came on in March of 2021. So I'm coming up on 2 years here next month. So
great. So I'm hearing a lot of public programs, funding opportunities where Kansas Wildscape is helping to help facilitate that with other partners, whether that's Wildlife and Parks or maybe you mentioned some for-profits like Cabela's Bass Pro, helping to bring those entities together for the cause and support programs for whether it's R3 or education, shooting sports, trying to bring in folks. Maybe we all know, I know Brittany knows it probably better than any of us, that the shooting sports programs in schools can really be a gateway to get kids outdoors and get them started. So I'm curious, what's the funding look like? So you mentioned you're a 501c3, you're a nonprofit, you're managed by a board of directors. I'm guessing you don't have taxing authority, right? I'm not paying sales tax to help fund Kansas Wildscape. So if you're doing all these projects, how does that function? Where do you get your funding?
Yeah, that's a good question, Rob. One of Wildscape's probably most notable projects was the cabins project that was done in the mid to late 90s is when all that kicked off. But if you've ever been to a state park or a wildlife area, most of them are in state parks, but seeing some of the cabins, they look like log cabins, for lack of a better term. But these cabins that are in state parks available to rent for anybody, families, groups, you know, fishing tournaments, that sort of thing. Wildscape kind of helped kick that program off. We had a donor that was real interested in getting families and such outdoors. The late Bud Walker was his name. He passed away a couple years ago, but Bud was instrumental in getting putting some money up to be matched with other funds. And so I think there's roughly 130 cabins across the state on public ground available to anyone to rent. Some beautiful places. Many of them have all the amenities of home. They have refrigerators, AC, heat, kitchen stuff, you name it. I've stayed in them. Buddies and I have stayed in them. It's a great time to do it. But that program, as a result, Wildscape financed and constructed about 70 of those cabins. And as a result, we get a very small percentage of some of that income that they get from cabins. I think 95% of it goes to the state, but Wildscape gets about 5%. That goes towards our administration, overhead, that sort of thing. And in addition to that, we also have, in the past, we've had a couple fundraisers. The biggest is the Kansas Outdoor Classic. It's in the fall in September at Acorns Resort up there, where we get four-person teams. It's $2,000 a team, but that pays for everything. They get together on Friday and golf. Friday night's the auction and a wonderful dinner. Saturday, we switch between shooting five stand and sporting clays and fishing on Milford Reservoir. And that's been our biggest fundraiser here in the last couple of years and gotten better. This year, we hope to max that out. I think we've got room for 15 or 16 teams. Last year, I think we had a dozen, and we've got some more signed up. So that's one of the fundraisers that we do. We just kicked off an e-newsletter that we're looking at, trying to reach out to some folks and maybe get a little funding for various things that we do right now as well. So we do have some corporate donors that help us and some grants and things. We've got a grant that helps with our youth programs and some of these shooting sports. Two of them, as a matter of fact, the Latner Family Foundation has been a good one. Great folks to work with. Rick Walker's our contact there. They used to be involved with Wildscape, and I think kind of Wildscape kind of got away a little bit, but reached back out to Rick, and they're a great partner for some of our shooting sports and these youth programs as well. And then the McElwain Foundation is another one. Charles and Joanne McElwain, longtime Wichita residents and Coleman employee in Charles. So we've got a couple of those grants that we get each year for our Wildlife for program and our Outdoor Kansas for Kids program. So, and then we also get some individual donations from folks. Hodgdon sponsors the Outdoor Classic in the fall, as does the Gary County Convention and Visitors here and there, and then some of these other grants and things that we've reached out. And we're looking for more. You know, Blue Cross Blue Shield has been involved in the past. We hope to reach back out to them. Capital Federal Banks, Cabela's is another one. Anybody that could help, you know, help us accomplish some of these goals and these programs. That's kind of where we're at. But that's kind of our funding in a nutshell, Rob. We're not a rich organization, nonprofit by any stretch. We don't have millions of dollars in the bank. Our goal is to get to a point where maybe we could have some sort of endowment and work off of that, you know, as we go. That cabin money actually goes away in about 6 years. So we're looking at some other avenues to fund Wildscape as well.
Yeah, that can be a grind as a nonprofit. You're speaking the language, I know, Mark. And I truly echo everything you said. If anybody has any type of passion or desire to support another organization that aims to get kids out, supports kids, supports people in general in the outdoors, which we all should be a fan of, you know, please consider making that donation to the Wildscape. I certainly do endorse that. An endowment, that'd be wonderful.
Yeah,
I have it would be. It's about that all the time.
it would be great, you know, and we've had some gracious donors over the course of Wildscape, and you know, people are great. You know, money's tight these days. The last, you know, 4 or 5 years, things are costing more than they ever have, and we've had some great donors. We're always looking for more. People can donate on our website in that e-newsletter. Kind of each of the things that we do, I'll mention in this next newsletter, I'll mention the Archery in the Schools program for Kansas kids. And if people, you know, say, hey, I'm an archer, or I'm a bow hunter, I'd love to support this. And they could sign up or they could get on that and just click of a button and donate $20. You know, if you think about the number of anglers and hunters that we have in Kansas, sportsmen and women across the board, you know, if half of these people gave $5 to a cause, that's a ton of money, you know, for groups like yours, Brittany, Outdoor Mentors or Wildscape or anybody else, you know, working to kind of do the same thing. So I'm hoping there's strength in numbers. I'd love to get to the point where, you know, even if we got 10% of that mailing list to donate $20, we'd be in really, really good shape. So, you know, that's kind of what we're looking for into the future.
Absolutely. I'm curious, Mark, what's your favorite thing, favorite program, favorite initiative that you've been involved with since you started with Wildscape?
Well, it's I don't know that I've got a favorite event. Obviously, there's been kind of a theme since I started, and I think that kind of goes back to my history with wildlife and parks, in that I love telling people about the outdoors. I love taking kids. I mean, I took literally dozens, if not hundreds, of kids over 20 years that I was involved in our turkey hunts and deer hunts and things, taking them out, introduced them and a non-hunting parent oftentimes to the outdoors. So I think just the passing it on part of it, I see now, you know, with my kids growing up and their generation, looking at the opportunities that they've had. Obviously, my kids had a lot of opportunities to do it, but many kids don't, you know, and what you do there at Outdoor Mentors and Mike's done for the course of 20 years now, getting kids out and getting them exposed to that. You know, if we have 10 kids that show up to one of our events like that, you know, maybe 4 or 5 of them may not do it, but another 4 or 5 certainly would. And at least the other ones know about it, you know, heading into the future. So I think anything sharing the outdoors, sharing the excitement of a turkey gobble on a crisp, cool morning, or hearing duck wings in a marsh, I think has probably been the biggest benefit. You know, the Great Kansas Fishing Derby was geared at trying to get families and that outside, you know, and there was nothing I liked more when my kids were small to load them up in the truck, run them around to a neighborhood pond and let them fish for a couple hours, you know, while I just kind of kicked back and watched them and they caught fish, and, you know, you could see the smile on their face and see what they enjoy. So that's probably in a nutshell, you know, just passing on that outdoor tradition.
That's good stuff. I know I get my kids out often, and that's why you keep doing it, right? You see those smiles and that tradition. And so really, it resonates with me for sure. Mark, you're talking about Kansas Wildscape. Where are you located? So I know that you don't like reside. I think Wildscape's in Lawrence. Is that right?
Well, we were in Lawrence, Rob. We had an office there for 17 years. Deb Brandt, our former administrative assistant business manager, she was in Lawrence. She retired last year. So since January of 22, we actually have an office in Newton. So I'm at 614 North Main Street in Newton.
Okay.
So that's where I'm located now. I live in Newton, so I work a lot out of my house. I have an office at home where I work, and then my office downtown. I've got supplies there where we, you know, mail out, you know, the wildlifer packets and meet with donors and that sort of thing. So, mm-hmm. you know, like I said, we're not a big organization. I actually saved about 50% by moving my office from Lawrence to Newton. I found a spot that has worked great for us, saved a little bit of money. And that's all money that, you know, we can put towards kids programs. Anything that we do, I kind of try and manage like my own, you know, just keep it on a tight shoestring budget, allowing us to spend more money on some of these programs. So we don't have a lot of overhead. We don't have a lot of paid employees. We're pretty fortunate in that, and that we're still doing some nice things.
So you're in Newton, you have an office, you're always taking donations. What does that look like? Like if I wanted to make a donation online, if I wanted to mail you a check, if I just wanted to call and find out more about Wildscape and what you're doing, and if that's something that I feel like is a cause that I should contribute to, what's that look like?
Yeah, and we've done all of that, Rob. I've had some individuals reach out. They heard about a program, and one gentleman that's elderly, you know, self-admitted that, you know, he didn't have a lot of years left and wanted to do something with his money after he's gone, some planned giving, if you will, just reached out. We had a few nice conversations and, you know, got some things rolling that way. Anybody can get on our website and sign up. You can make a donation on the website, become a partner of ours. Anybody that, you know, wants to reach out, they can reach me by cell phone. Email is another good way. You know, our website is kansaswildscape.org. They can get on there. We just kind of revamped that website last fall. We wrapped it up and take a look at the website and see what we do. You know, a couple of the things that I didn't mention that Wildscape does is the Outdoor Kansas for Kids project. And we actually send anywhere from $100 to $500 to groups, mostly in state parks, but some rec centers, to put on a program geared towards the outdoors, whether it's a fishing derby, they shoot archery, they shoot BB guns, they go hiking, they go bird watching or whatever. So we have had about 40 sites last year. About half of them were in state parks, reaching literally thousands of kids. So they sign up. The application period is open now. If anybody's got ideas for one, if it meets those criteria that we have on the website, I'll look it over and send them a check for $100 to $500. You know, we help some folks along the way, various rec centers. I think Rose Hill has a big turnout. Mead State Park out in western Kansas has huge events. My first year at the Nature Center when we did it, I think we had over 1,000 kids show up for ours. So that's something that Wildscape does with some of the money that we get from some of these grants, and they're proud to support us. So there's a lot of different ways to donate. I'm always open to chatting with anybody about programs. If they've got ideas, if they'd like to donate, I'd love to visit with them so they can get on our website. All my information's there and they can give me a shout.
Okay, perfect. So you mentioned those programs. I'm wondering about scale. So let's say I'm a sixth grade teacher, and before the school gets out in the summer, I want to take my class out of, you know, 20 to 30 kids for a little fishing derby at the local city lake, all the way up to I'm the rec district of a community in Kansas, and we're going to host a weekend outdoor kids event? Are everything in between there? Is that something that you're looking at? Or are you limited high end, low end?
Well, I don't want to say high end, Rob, but we don't get down to individual class sizes just simply because it's not open to everyone. Mm-hmm. You know, our outdoor kids program is geared to be mentored towards kids. It's free. None of the events cost anything. So as a result, we don't get down to the classroom size, but you know, the rec centers and things like that. You know, Phil Taunton over in Emporia does family fishing nights in the summer. We work with him on some of those things. Basically, any event that's going to be open to the public and meets the criteria for that OK Kids event, we'll look at giving them a small donation. And it's not a lot of money, but, you know, $100 to $500 to buy some supplies, that sort of things. We work with cops and bobbers up in the northeast part of the state. I think they help with 6 or 7 different outdoor type events that that we count as Outdoor Kansas for Kids event. The other one that any individual kid can get on is the Kansas Wildlifer Challenge. So they can get on KansasWildlifer.com, run through that list. You know, we try and get kids away from the computer, but during COVID, it was a great time to get on that computer, take pictures of their accomplishments, put it back on the website, sign up. And then when they're done, they get kind of a cool little prize package. That's a program that from the initial go, we're kind of running out of prizes. We hope to get some more donations and some more money for that particular program to be able to send these prize packages out. And that's something I'm working on as we speak. With some groups like Pheasants Forever and some other foundations. So those are just a couple things that are kind of in-house with Wildscape that we do. So, you know, they can jump on the website. If they have any questions, they can call me. If their site might qualify for an OK Kids grant, I'd be happy to talk with them.
What do you do in your spare time, Mark?
I do. I do. Just about a month ago, I had total shoulder replacement surgery. So I'm healing from that.
With one hand.
Yeah. And I can move this one up here, but this one's a little better. Unfortunately, my right side is still good, so the shotgun won't bother me, but I'm still a couple weeks away from reeling a spinning reel. So we'll work on that. But I do spend a lot of time outdoors, not quite as much as I used to. My get up and go kind of got up and went as I gotten older. So it's still fun to get and keep engaged and looking at, you know, younger folks like you and Brittany, you know, keeping up the keeping the torch going for the rest of us. It just, my career went by in the blink of an eye, you know, three plus decades, and it wasn't long ago I was in the same seat as both of you and just thinking about trying to help folks. So I appreciate, you know, you all's effort in keeping this torch going and passing that on to everybody else.
Well, thanks for that. Thanks for leading the way.
Yeah. Well, Mark, what do you think? You ready for some lightning round questions?
Sure. I'm a little worried about that. You kind of sprung that one on me at the last minute, but
yeah, we'll
see what
that
happens.
Yeah.
They're pretty harmless, promise.
All right.
Yep. So we'll kick off. I got 8 questions. And we've had everything from questions that are just yes, no, this, that, to some people just can't decide and have to, you know, go into long detail about their answer, and we're okay with whatever. Pretty
right.
Easy stuff. Okay, so question number 1, would you prefer to be sitting with a Labrador in a duck blind, ducks are working, got a good wind, everything's right, or a Labrador on the uplands and some CRP that you know's got roosters in it, you know, the birds are going to sit, the dog's going to work?
That's a good question. Labradors is a common theme right there. I had a couple labs that I had for 11 or 12 years. I don't currently have one, which is kind of sad, but those two dogs, while they were pheasant dogs to some extent, they were duck dogs as their main job. So I think I'd have to pick in a marsh with a big black dog sitting right beside me and hearing those duck wings overhead and the smell of the marsh, the sights and sounds and smells are pretty special. I grew up upland bird hunting and did it every weekend after basketball practice on Saturday and the rest of Sunday as soon as I could drive. So I got a lot of that, and then got into college and got into duck hunting and really enjoy that. But yeah, the common denominator was that big black dog that was sitting next to me, and had a lot of fun with him.
Okay. Question number two, do you prefer spring goblin turkeys or big fat neck rut and whitetails in November?
Man, that's a tough one. You know, I used to take my little girl. She's the one that's got two daughters now that are my grandbabies. They're 3 and 5 weeks old, but I can remember taking her and just sitting beside her when she was 9 years old and hearing those turkeys just hammering the trees behind us and, you know, telling her, I said, if we don't kill a turkey, you know, that's what I wanted you to hear, or I wanted you to experience. And, you know, we'd miss one or two and kill one or two, but the highlight oftentimes was a box of chocolate milk and a couple donuts when we didn't kill anything. So, that said, I don't think there's anything gets my heart thumping more than a big whitetail buck headed my way. I bow hunted from Canada to South Texas and everywhere in between for a lot of different big game species, and a whitetail buck is pretty special. My bow hunting days might be over with his shoulder replacement, but we'll see what happens.
You didn't pick, Mark.
Yeah, I did a rutting whitetail buck. Yeah.
Okay.
Even though goblins really got me and I had some great memories, I'd probably take a whitetail.
All right.
Had a big whitetail headed my way.
Gotcha. That was a soft pick, as we call that.
All right, number three. So from the time I've got to hang out with you, Mark, I know that you've got a passion for walleye fishing. So you get up, and this may be easy, maybe really hard one for you to pick. I don't know. Do you prefer those shallow running walleye, you know, early spring spawn, pre-spawns happening, or are you more like a hunting and find them suspended fish in the fall? Which one of those, spring walleye or fall walleye?
Well, you know, to be honest, if I had to pick walleye, I'd pick May and June, you know, as far as being successful. Oh, yeah. You know, after that post-spawn bite, they're hungry, they're roaming, they're moving, they're much easier to catch. That said, I think I'd probably pick that spring bite. We've had some great trips to Canopolis, Cheney, some of those areas. As those fish move towards that dam to spawn, you know, they get kind of finicky. I'm not one to walk the dam and things, but we've had some good trips casting flukes and sassy shads and that sort of thing on some points near the dams in the springtime, and had some great trips that way. So I'd probably pick spring walleye.
Okay. Sticking here with the fishing theme, number four, you prefer big bull bluegills in a farm pond or fishing a strong crappie bite?
These are all good, and I'd hate to live without one or the other. Bluegill pound for pound are probably one of the toughest critters that swims. But crappie are in probably my top three fish that I love to catch ahead of bluegill. So I'd probably pick crappie. There's just something about that thump. You know, I've kind of moved to single pole fishing, and you know, with the advent of live scope the last couple of years, you know, everybody's worried that's going to wipe populations out, but we caught lots of limits, you know, before live scope, before 3D sonar and that, and we're still going strong. We still got creel limits to manage day by day, but I think that crappie thump is probably be my pick.
Okay, good choice. You may have already answered number five. I'm going to ask it anyway. You prefer the sunrise in the marshland or sunrise on the upland prairie?
Yeah, sunrise in a marsh is just spectacular. Like I said, with the sights and sounds and those rails and coots, you know, going crazy. They make some god-awful sounds and noises, ducks, you know, flushing. And as legal shooting time getting there, shots going off. Yeah, I'd take a sunrise on a marsh any day.
Good choice. I'm with you. The duck wings and red wing blackbirds and all that stuff. Yep. Okay. Number six, we're going to switch it up with some small game stuff. Cottontails or squirrel hunting?
I grew up rabbit hunting a lot. That was a highlight of my trip when my dad had let me cock my little 410 and shoot at a rabbit that didn't happen to run away. But squirrel hunting, I got into squirrel hunting. Michael Pierce kind of turned me on to squirrel hunting with a call, you know, distress whistle, probably 30 years or so ago. And so I think I'd pick squirrel hunting with a distress call. People just, you know, can't believe how well it works. I did a seminar there at the Nature Center on calling all squirrels. Had 215 people show up for it, and couldn't believe, one, that that many people showed up for it, and two, that nobody had ever tried it. And so that's probably the seminar that I did that I got the most comments on in subsequent years was that squirrel seminar. So I think I'd pick squirrel hunting.
Still talk about that seminar, Mark.
Yeah, and those are good. And the deer one, I had over 400 show up for, and I had to turn half of them away because our auditorium only seated about half that. And then I did an impromptu one the next week. But squirrel hunting, you know, and there's no, you know, you're not going to run into anybody. You're not going to have, you're going to have the woods to yourselves, even on our public lands. And that's a great opportunity. My kids grew up on camping trips at Council Grove, shooting squirrels in the morning and then playing in the lake the rest of the day. So it's all good stuff.
Yep. Yeah. Well, I really enjoy squirrel hunting, calling them with a couple quarters. I don't know if you've ever tried that.
Yeah.
Okay. Question number 7. We're back to waterfowling, and you got to trade one for the other, not forever, but maybe just a trip for a trip. Cheyenne bottoms in September for early teal, or Jamestown for some big ducks in December.
And I've hunted both of those for decades on end, literally. We've had duck camps at Cheyenne Bottoms back when there was nobody there. Now that place is packed wall to wall for weeks.
Yes.
I don't know if we started that or not, but we used to be the only campers and tents there. I'd have to go with Cheyenne Bottoms early season. You know, part of that draw is a big roaring fire and hearing speckle bellies flying overhead, sandhill cranes going by, coyotes howling their head off in the middle of the night. And duck hunting was just kind of a bonus, and teal tastes great. So we'd have third day, we'd have to have a duck feed to stay under our possession limit. So coupled with a big old fire and good friends and a few drinks, I'd take Cheyenne Bottoms in September.
I like it. Okay. Last question. You're doing great. Doves in September, you know, you're going to get a sunburn and see plenty of birds in maybe a chopped silage cornfield, or goblin turkeys in the timber.
I think dove season kicking off September 1 kind of starts the fall thing and kind of breaks the ice, if you will. I think I'd pick doves, you know, for that reason, because that means it's go time. You know, everything else is going to follow. You get into October, and if November were 11 months long, I'd be really happy as everything kicking off then. But I think I'd pick doves, and they taste great too. On a grill wrapped in bacon and jalapeno slice, that's as fine a dining as you're going to find anywhere.
Yeah, cool. Well, you did well. You passed, Mark.
All right, I passed. That wasn't as hard as I thought. I was worried you were going to ask me if you had for the rest of your life. It's a question I've been asked, is if you could only hunt or fish, which would it be?
Well, what would it be?
Well, I'm going to put you two on the spot and ask which one would you two pick?
I would probably hunt.
Would you?
Same.
Yeah. I'd hunt. I let my kids fish. One of them could pick fish and I'll just go along, and then they can go with me and hunt, you know, be a tag along.
Work the system.
That'd be a toss up for me. I mean, as much as I love both of them, you got a bunch of species to fish for. You got a lot of things you can hunt for.
Mm-hmm.
I'd be torn. I'd just hope I'd never have to make that decision. But
yeah.
Well, I'm thankful we don't have to make that decision.
You're exactly right. You keep on trucking, doing both of them.
Absolutely. Mark, thank you so much for joining us. How can people find you all on the internet or social media? I know you briefly mentioned it, but let's remind them where they can find you guys at?
Yeah, they can jump on a Google search and Kansas Wildscape Foundation. We're at kansaswildscape.org, and a quick search finds that, finds my phone number there. They can give me a call. We have a Facebook page. We're trying to ramp that up just a little bit to get more into social media. They can give us a call. My email address is on there. Feel free to reach out if they got ideas, interested in a donation, whatever the case might be. They can find us on the World Wide Web.
Good stuff. Cool. Well, Mark, thanks again for joining us. Brittany, it's good to see you.
And, yeah, likewise.
Tell all your friends to tune in to the Great Plains Outdoors podcast.
Sounds good. I appreciate you too and what you all do for the outdoors, and I appreciate the time to hang out with you. It's always good talking to you.
Absolutely. We'll see you guys next time.
See you later.